Wednesday the 22nd of April, Koch Pes Nissen, Baba Jonas and Chodi, and Mule Akum, part 3.
Okay, good morning, Rabbi Isai. We'll do the Hazara first, so that we can get back into the picture before we take it to the next step. You'll all remember that we mentioned the Issa Vamir La'akum is an Issa Midrabanon. You're not allowed to ask a guy to do anything for you on Shabbos or Yom Tov. We learned that there are two types of hinting. There's what's called Remiza Derech Tzivoy and Remiza Shelo B'Derech Tzivoy. Remiza Derech Tzivoy means you're hinting by way of questioning, a hint that you'd like him to do something for you. We saw that that was also included under the prohibition of Amir al-Akum. So you cannot say to a guy, why didn't you do so-and-so? That's a question, Derech Tzivoy, hinting to him that you want him to do something, you can't do that. We learned about that Shelo B'Derech Tzivoy in Mutar. Now, everyone is familiar with that you may hint to a non-Jew that you would like him to do something for you on Shabbos that is not included in the Issa of Amir al-Akum. Similarly, you're allowed to tell him a story, you're allowed to tell him the state of facts. So this is the situation, there's a light on in my room and I can't sleep. That is B'Derech Sipur, you're telling him the facts as they are, and you let him then decide whether to respond or not. That's called Shelo B'Derech Tzivoy. Remiza Shelo B'Derech Tzivoy is permitted. We learned additionally that there is another prohibition. In addition to asking a non-Jew to do something for you, there's also the prohibition of benefiting from a malocha that a non-Jew does for you. It's a completely separate additional issa to asking a non-Jew. In other words, even if the non-Jew acts on his own accord, without you saying anything at all, and he does something that is beneficial for you, you may not benefit from that on Shabbos. We learned what is called benefit. Benefit means a new substantial benefit, something that you were not able to have in any way at all beforehand, something completely new. That is considered to be a benefit. But an additional benefit is not a benefit in halacha. Similarly, removing an obstacle for you to have any benefit is also not considered to be a proper benefit. So, if a non-Jew puts a light on for you in a completely dark room, where in that room you weren't able to read before, you weren't able to eat, you weren't able to do anything in that room, and now with a light on you obviously can, that is called a new additional positive benefit, substantial benefit. You cannot benefit even if you didn't ask the non-Jew to do it for you. He does it completely on his own accord. However, if you could read a little bit, it was early in the morning, 9, 10 o'clock on Shabbos morning, when you could already, there's already light in that room, you could already read a little bit, then that's considered to be an additional benefit. It's not something that was impossible for you. It makes it easier for you. That in halacha is not considered to be a benefit, and you may benefit from that action that the guy did on his own accord. You may not still ask him to do it, but you may hint to him, but Derech Remiza, Shelo B'Derech Tzivoy, and if he then responds, then you may benefit, because you could anyway do that even without his interference. Similarly, a removal of an impediment is not considered to be a benefit. So for example, if there is a light on in your bedroom and you'd like to go to sleep, you may hint to a non-Jew that you can't sleep in this situation. The non-Jew will then turn the light off. That is not considered to be a new substantial benefit. It's just removing the impediment for you to sleep. It's taking away the fact that because the light is there, I can't sleep. Now the light's gone, I can sleep. We don't consider the sleeping to be a new additional positive benefit as a result, a direct result of the melacha the non-Jew did. Sleeping has got nothing to do with the light. Sleeping is sleeping. The light prevents you sleeping. So if the non-Jew does that, then that's considered to be a removal of an impediment, and that is permitted. That doesn't come under the issa of benefiting from melacha that a non-Jew does for you. Okay, then we covered the situations where it's actually permitted to ask a non-Jew to do something for you. And we differentiated between an issa deraisa and an issa drabonon. Where it comes to an issa deraisa, We learned that the circumstances in which you're permitted to ask a non-Jew is a case of a chole she'en b'sakona. So for example, if there's a chole who's confined to bed and he needs certain things to be done for him, you may ask a non-Jew to do even an issa d'oraisa. So for example, if there's a chole in hospital, confined to bed, obviously in the case of sakona we're not talking about, everything is permitted to alleviate the sakona's nefashes, but a chole she'en b'sakona is someone who is confined to bed, then it's permitted to ask a non-Jew to do an issa d'oraisa. So you may ask a nurse, for example, in the hospital to heat up some water, to make him a cup of tea, to put the light on, to adjust an electric or machine. Those things, although they categorize under issa d'oraisa, normally for a chole she'en b'sakona, it is permitted. Secondly, another example where it's permitted to ask a non-Jew to do an issa d'oraisa is in the case of a mitzvah or a michshol d'rabim, where it's involved a mitzvah d'rabim. The example that the Mishnah Berurah talks about is to repair an eruv, if there's an eruv in the town, and as a result of that, the eruv was broken on Shabbos, and people are being michshol, so that's considered to be a mitzvah stroke michshol d'rabim. It's permitted to ask a non-Jew to repair the Eruv, although that would involve an Issa D'Oraisa. When it comes to other mitzvahs, generally speaking, we do not allow non-Jew to do an Issa D'Oraisa for the sake of other mitzvahs, apart from the mitzvah of Bris Milah, because Bris Milah is anyway Dota Shabbos. So if there are other Isurim that are involved in order for you to be able to do the Bris, you may ask the non-Jew to do an Issa D'Oraisa for the sake of a Bris Milah. You don't allow the non-Jew to bring the baby to shul, because you can equally well do the Bris at home. But if there's a problem with a knife or other things where are necessary for the mitzvah, it's permitted. That's the, generally speaking, the only exception when we allow a non-Jew to do a issa d'oraisa for the sake of a mitzvah b'yochid. The case of a mitzvah d'rabim is different. Okay. There's an interesting situation. Let's say a person is in a hospital, and the hospital heated up a meal for the chole, which is permitted. Let's say we're talking about chole she'en b'sakona, so that would be permitted. Question is, now the chole decides they don't want to eat the meal, can you, a guest who is visiting the chole, eat the food? Generally speaking, we say that there is a problem of shema yarbe b'shviloi, that although there are circumstances where we allow a non-Jew to do work for you, but if there is a possibility that the non-Jew may add more food or do extra malachas for you, then we say you may not benefit from the malacha that the non-Jew did. Now, in the situation of a hospital, firstly, the nurse has no clue who you are. It's not likely that they're going to put more in. Secondly, it's not their food to be able to decide whether they should or they shouldn't. They can't actually give you their own food and hospital kosher meal food for someone who's not a patient. So there's no real chashash that in the situation of a hospital that they're going to add more food for the visitors. So therefore, it is permitted to eat the food for the chole can't eat or doesn't want to eat. One doesn't have to throw it away. One of the visitors permitted to eat the food.
We have with a pediatric case with a child who was with one or both parents.
Right. Thank you. Okay. Let's move on to the case of an issa d'rabbanan. Nisa Drabonon, we learned, is permitted to ask a non-Jew to do a Nisa Drabonon for the following four situations. Number one, Tzar Godel. If the patient is not a Chole she'en b'sakona, he's suffering in pain, he has a severe headache, he's not confined to bed, but he's suffering. Or there's other situations of suffering. There you may ask a non-Jew to do a Nisa Drabonon. So for example, to Mekach Memka on Shabbos is a Nisa Drabonon. So if a person needs medication, you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to go buy some medication for you, because that's an issa d'rabbanan, and we allow a non-Jew to do an issa d'rabbanan, but mock him when it's tzar godel. So if a person is having severe migraine, he's not confined to bed, but it's tzar godel, you may ask a non-Jew to buy medication. Similarly, we learn that carrying is permitted, although we treat the street, generally speaking, as a rishus harabim de oraisa. However, When it comes to the question of Amir al-Akum, we covered this last time, we treat the street as a kamnis, an area of a drabona, and therefore you may ask a non-Jew to carry things for you, again, b'mokum tzagodl, or any of the other situations. Another case where it's permitted to ask a non-Jew to do an issur drabona is in the case of a mitzvah. If you can't fulfill a mitzvah, and unless you're over the drabona, you may ask a non-Jew to do an issur drabona for the sake of a mitzvah diyachid. Furthermore, hesed merubah. If there's a substantial loss involved, again, you may ask a non-Jew to do an issur drabona. We don't allow you to ask him to do an issur deraisa for hesed merubah. You may hint to a non-Jew to do an issur deraisa for hesed merubah because it will probably be removing an impediment. But to ask, but in the case of an issur drabona, it's mutter to ask in the case of a hesed merubah. So, for example, if the electric iron is boiled away, and there's a chashash that the electric power will blow up or the urn will get broken. Could involve a substantial loss. Turning off electricity is certainly a drabona. Therefore, it'd be permitted to ask a non-Jew, b'mokum, with a chashash of a hefsim merubah, to turn off an appliance. It's an interesting question about a freezer. If a freezer is full of food you need for Shabbos and Yontif, and the power goes, you want to ask a non-Jew to switch the power on again. Now, we'll cover this in a bit more detail soon, but many poskim say that when it comes to Amir al-Akum, we can treat a case of electricity where there's no filament, not a light, but just an electrical appliance with no light, relevant to an Amir al-Akum as a drabona. So in the case of a Hesed Merubah, it would be permitted, according to those poskim, to ask a non-Jew to switch the freezer back on, on Shabbos.
Normally you're going to have the sun kneel by it, surely.
Yeah. That's problematic. True. There's no heat. So Mr. Armstrong is very familiar with all applications of light. To blow the shofar. The Gemara talks about the case where the shofar is in a tree, and you have to climb up the tree on Yom Tov. It's an issur drabona to climb up the tree. You may ask a non-Jew to get the shofar for you. We don't, generally speaking, we don't blow shofar chazam in the gezeira because of etzah deraisa. So we don't blow shofar on Shabbos. But in the case of Yom Tov, you'd have the, if the shofar is on the tree, that would be permitted, 100%. The fourth case where...
How far do we allow a non-Jew to go if he's a well-trained non-Jew? He knows to turn off and turn on. Can we benefit from whatever he does?
Good, very good question. Very good. We'll come to that in a little bit more shortly. Generally speaking, no. If he's doing it for you, then the game's over, as it were. Okay. The fourth case where we're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do an issur drabanan is for kovod abrias. If it's a question of kovod abrias, then we're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do an issur drabanan. One example of kovod abrias would be, let's say, in the case of where if you run out of toilet paper, you'd be permitted to ask a non-Jew to tear the toilet paper in a way that you certainly can hint to the non-Jew to tear the toilet paper, and if that doesn't work, you can even ask the non-Jew to tear some toilet paper, because we would treat that as, I don't want to go into the whole question of gozes now, and korea and... Machateh, you can do that perhaps another time, but mokum where there's a problem of kovod abrias is mutter to ask the non-Jew to do an issur drabona, and we'd be allowed to ask him to tear the toilet paper. Generally speaking, if you haven't got a non-Jew and you need some toilet paper, the best way to do it is to take the roll and to do it kalachayad with your fist like this, try and tear it not on the perforations. If it tears on the perforations, it doesn't matter. To use the part that you take that tears off. So in other words, don't take one piece and then split that again in half and use both. Better just to tear one piece off the roll to use that, and then tear another piece off the roll and use that, rather than tear both parts, using both parts of which you tear at the same time. It's a question of in Korea what there's one shita that says in Korea that it's only Korea if you benefit from both parts of what you taught. So although we don't necessarily go with that halacha, but where it comes to you being over an issa, better to do it that way if you can. Okay. So those are the situations where we can ask a non-Jew to do an issa derabbanan. Okay. What I want to talk about now is that the situations where you can ask a non-Jew to do something that is permitted, although that might result in the non-Jew doing something that is prohibited. We're all familiar with a case where we take our car to the mechanic before Shabbos, and we tell him that we want it Sunday morning, serviced, repaired. We need it Sunday morning. We leave our car with a mechanic to do the job. We assume, and we know many times, that the non-Jew will actually do the work on Shabbos. But everyone's familiar with that is permitted. Why is that permitted? Well, I'm not going to go into the too many details now about there's two actual ways of an employee doing work for you Shabbos, either a kablon or a sechir yoin. A kablon is where he's contracted, so he's contracted to do a job, and a sechir yoin is where he's paid for his time. Bez Hashem will cover that another time. But when the mechanic takes on the job, he's being paid as a kablon. He's being paid to do the job. He might charge you based on how long it takes him, but he's actually being paid for the job. That job he can do whenever he wants. You've given him plenty of time before Shabbos, plenty of time after Shabbos. He can choose his own time when to repair your car. If he chooses to repair your car on Shabbos, that is doing for his own benefit. That's called Adat Adam Shein. I have not asked him to do something prohibited. I've asked him to do something permitted. He can do it before Shabbos, he can do it after Shabbos. I don't insist that I must have it the minute Shabbos is out. He has plenty of time to do it. So if a kablan would choose to do a job for me in his own rishus on Shabbos, that's his own Adat Adam Shein on his own account. I asked him to do something permitted. So that's one example that we're all familiar with, where we ask a non-Jew to do something permitted, although it may end up in a prohibition, that's his account.
Obviously he's not a Jew.
Either work before Shabbos, or you must collect it. You can give it last minute, but you must collect it once a Shabbos. You have to give him the time, once a Shabbos, or Sunday morning, plenty of time that he can do the job.
I don't know immediately.
Good, fair question.
So mechanics not through.
Okay. There is a very interesting halacha. The Mechaber brings a very interesting halacha. A person needs a job done. So he says to a guy, come with me. He says to his servant, he says to his shifchot, come with me, and I want you to come with me to that so-and-so place. We'll walk together. You jolly well know that in order to get there, the non-Jew is going to do a malacha for you. So let's say he's going to put some lights on, or he's going to drive, or whatever it is. Let's say put lights on, it's easier. So the Mechaber says you can't do that. Why? Because since you've told the guy to come with you, when he puts the lights on, he's doing a malacha for you, just as much as he's doing it for himself, doing it for you. So we learned that if a guy does a malacha for himself and for you, it's called he's doing it for you. And you can't do that. However, the Mishnah Berurah says that the Mechaber was very specific. The Mechaber said that if you tell the non-Jew to come with you, however, the Mishnah Berurah says clearly that if you tell him with the shlichus that he should go by himself and he should do something that is permitted for you, and by the way, he is going to put a light on that is 100% permitted, and you may even benefit from the light afterwards. So let's say you have something in a dark room, and you generally will know that the non-Jew, and you want the light put on in the room. So you may say to a non-Jew, can you please get me something from the room? You know that when he goes to that room, he's going to do something. He's going to do an issa. But you didn't ask him to do the issa. He's doing that on his own accord. You may now benefit from that. Why? Because I didn't ask him to do anything prohibited. What he did prohibited was on his own bat. Similarly to the case of the car. What, I never asked him to do anything prohibited. Which means that if you need to have a light on in the toilet, obviously you can't ask a goy to put the light on. You can't hint to a goy, because we saw that if there is, it's considered to be a new substantial benefit. Doesn't help to do an issa d'oraisa. I don't think so. Yeah. So, what you can do is get the goy to do something permitted. Say to the goy, can you please check if there's enough toilet paper? Can you please bring me a stool? Can you see if the aerosol can is empty? There's many ways that you could think of doing something which is completely permitted to do. And by the way, the non-Jew, in order to achieve that, he will then have to switch the light on. He may switch the light on. You may even tell him, please don't turn the light off. So that is very, very important to know. When you need a non-Jew to do an issa d'oraisa for you, even if it involves some benefit, think of a way to ask him to do something that's 100% permitted. And you don't have to hint. You may ask him straight out.
Why is turning off so... Not another
we're telling the non-Jew not to turn the light off, so he's not doing anything.
Can't say move it off.
Yeah, he can tell you.
Don't worry about the all around.
You may even tell him to leave the light on, because he's not doing anything. Okay. If we take this one step further, another example of this is washing the dishes. We're quite familiar that people who have helpers in the house who do melachas that are permitted on Shabbos. Again, another whole parasha which we can cover perhaps another time. But you can ask a non-Jew to please wash the dishes for you. That, we're talking about obviously, let's say on Friday night where you need those dishes for Shabbos morning, so there's no question of any Isurim involved at all. You generally want to know the non-Jew is going to do Isurim, going to maybe put on the dishwasher, and things like that. They're going to be... They're doing on their own accord. You ask them to do something which is completely permitted. If they then choose to do something in a prohibited way, they're 100% mutter.
Same principle for bringing the house, yeah?
No, maybe not. Because you can't do that beheta.
What?
It's only talking about things where you can do beheta.
The broom, like she chooses to use the hoop because it's...
Possibly, okay, maybe. Maybe. There could be other Isurim, or Zils or Shabbos. Okay. If they do it, they do it. They've done it. It's they've done it. It's not you do it. No.
Is there a problem having the dishwasher on? Is there a problem having the...
Yeah, but that's what you do. You do it. This is the guy's doing it. The guy's doing it.
Problem with Shmizu in your house on...
No. Shmizu's Kalim is mutter. Yeah. If you do it, or then you have a problem of... But this is the book. Okay. All right. How could you do it better? Okay. Yeah.
How can
they? Well, we'll cover that next time. It goes into all the dinim of Kablonas and Sfir Yoim, which I don't want to go into too much detail now. Permit Shem, another time we'll cover that. Somebody working for you in the house, a home help, caterer, caretakers, whole parasha in itself. Okay, I want to tell you another interesting aloha, which is very practical. And that is the case of a psik ratio. The Rama brings a fascinating case based on the Trumas Hadeshen. In the time of the Trumas Hadeshen, they didn't have means of heating up hot food on Shabbos morning. So what they used to do was, they had the food that they kept on Friday night. The Shifcha would come in on Shabbos morning, put the food on the heating unit, whatever it was that was used to heat the house. Now we saw we mentioned last time, perhaps the time before, that when it comes to heating, it's permitted to ask a non-Jew to put heating on, because heating, we say, is called, everyone is considered to be a choyle etel akhoyle, and that is another exception where it's permitted to ask a non-Jew to do an iser deraisa. So it's mutter for the non-Jew to switch the heating on Shabbos. So what they used to do was, they used to get the non-Jew to put the food on the heating unit, specifically not on the cooker. Mr. Brewer talks about Englisher cookers. Don't know if anyone still has an Englisher cooker, but not on the unit that is used, generally speaking, for cooking, but on the heating unit. Okay, then what happened? They would then switch on the heating. Mutter to switch on the heating. Al Yedei, obviously through a guy, yeah, the guy switched on the heating, yeah. So, through the heating being switched on, oh, the food is now going to be heated up. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says, based on the Magen Avraham, that we're talking about the case of heating up the food, even if it was nitzan in legamri, even if the food was completely cold, which means that the heating up that food would normally be an issa deraisa. The Mishnah Berurah says that it's permitted, and Shemesh Lashon brings it, the Ramah brings it, it's permitted. Why is it permitted? Because it's a psik ratio. It's a psik ratio. It means that this is an inevitable outcome of something that I, another action that I did. So for example, you're not allowed to water the grass. In your own garden, you're not allowed to water the grass. You're obviously allowed to wash your hands. May you wash your hands over the grass? The answer is no, because it's a psik ratio. I don't intend to water the grass. I intend to wash my hands. Washing my hands is a completely mutter-dicker thing to do on Shabbos. The circumstances which you choose to do it involves an inevitable outcome of something which is an issa deraisa. We don't allow Yisrael to do it. If it's nichalei, it's an issa deraisa for Yisrael to do it. However, through a goy, we do not prohibit a goy to do a psik ratio. Why? First, the Mishnah Berurah says the reason is because we're maker when it comes to a mirror, an issa through a non-Jew, which is not done through a maisa. An issa which is done purely through an amira is permitted for the non-Jew to do. The non-Jew has no issa, obviously. My issa is only an amira. I asked him, what did I ask him to do? Put the heating on. If, as an inevitable outcome of putting the heating on, I get the benefit of heating up my food, that's a psik ratio. So that is a permitted thing to do. The Shulchan Aruch Rav explains the reason is in line with what we said before. Because what did I ask the guy to do? I asked him to do something permitted. If the non-Jew then does something prohibited, that's on his account. I asked him to put the heating on. So if as a result the food gets heated up, it's permitted. It's his account. That's the explanation of the Shulchan Aruch Rav. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't actually say that explanation. He just says that an amir al-akum through a psikresh, through a non-Jew, is mutter. Okay, the Rav, the Vilna Gaon, disagrees with the Mishnah Berurah, but we pass no out the Mishnah Berurah that psikresh through a non-Jew is mutter, even in the case of an Isra Deraisa, which means that if you forgot to take the light out of the fridge, so you're on holiday and there's a light in the fridge, or other circumstances where you forgot to take the light out of the fridge, and you need to open the fridge for Shabbos in order to take the food out. It's a perfectly permitted thing to do, to open the door of the fridge, take food out. As a result of opening the fridge door, the light will come on. That is a deraisa, but it is a through a psik ratio. It is an inevitable outcome of a permitted activity. That is permitted through a non-Jew. So you may ask a non-Jew to open the door of the fridge, although you know that as a result of that, the light will come up. Perfectly permitted.
We do two things. On and off.
Now you want to know about closing the fridge.
Well, you've asked to take the food out of the fridge. He's opening the light and closing the light.
When he closes the fridge door. Okay, so when it comes to closing the fridge door, you have the same thing. You have the same thing. Now, again, it's easier to always turn the light off. But yes, you have the same thing, that it is a psych ratio which is perfectly permitted, and the non-Jew may close the fridge. You can have a problem though, because you might want the fridge later on in the day, and you might not have a good. So, here you now, what's your option? You want the goy to remove the light. Okay, so now, if you need this food there that you need in the fridge later on for Shabbos, yeah? So there's B'makom Mitzvah in Shabbos, you have the mainstay of what you need for your meal is in the fridge. This could be a situation of B'makom Mitzvah, you can ask a goy to do an Issur D'Rabbanan. Issur D'Rabbanan will be removing the light, because switching lights off is always going to be only an Issur D'Rabbanan. So if you need the food for later on, then for Shabbos, then you can actually ask the goy to do the Issur D'Rabbanan for you, to take the Baal Bat. If you don't need the food later on, but you still might need the fridge, then you can hint to him to do the melacha, because taking the light off is removing an impediment for you to enjoy. It's not considered to be a new positive benefit. Taking away a minhag, so you can ask, so you can hint to him to take the light off. You could say to him that next time I'm going to need the fridge, I'm not going to be able to open it while the light is on, and you see what he says. We discussed last time the various options and what you can and can't say. So that is a very, very important heta through a psych ratio, through a nodule. Another practical application of that is of the hot water system. The hot water system, as we have it, when you put the hot water tap on, you have cold water going into the system that is being heated up. That is certainly a psych ratio. It's even better than a psych ratio, because it could be a grommel. Okay, but whatever it is, it's a psych ratio, you've got the water coming in, it's going to be heated up at a later stage, so that's why it's a groma. Again, it is permitted through a non-Jew. The non-Jew is doing a perfectly permitted thing, opening the hot water tap. The inevitable outcome, we're not worried about, because it's a psych ratio, and therefore it's permitted. You can ask the non-Jew to open the tap, and you can use the hot water, let's say for a child, you can use that hot water. So that is a very, very important principle to bear in mind, that psich ratio, ali de akum, is mutter. Similarly, groma through an akum is mutter. And don't shoot me, but to adjust the trippers on a time switch is a groma. So you can make the time switch, so let's say you have a time switch which you want it to go off later or on earlier. That's a groma, and a groma through a non-Jew is permitted, and that's also something that you can ask the non-Jew to do. No, you can't. Another time. Okay, pass your off, he'll let you do it yourself. No.